pray. Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. There was a skinflint who was really getting serious about the end of his life. He realized it was coming quickly and that he was facing eternity. And he went to his local pastor and he said, "Pastor, you know, I've lived a bad life. I really haven't given God the time of day. I haven't given a dime to the church. Is there anything that I can do that will guarantee me getting into heaven?" And the pastor kind of looked at him with a knowing look, kind of saying, "Well, you finally came to this realization, did you?" And the guy, kind of embarrassed, said, "You know, well, what if I gave you everything that I have, my whole fortune? Would that get me into heaven? Would that give me eternal life if I gave you everything?" The pastor paused for a moment, then he said, "Well, we can give it a try." I wonder how many people actually think that they can earn their way to heaven or buy their way to heaven by some means. Now, this will kind of date me a little bit, but some of you may remember a television commercial featuring John Houseman. And he was representing a financial institution, and he said these words in this wonderful British accent. He said, "Smith Barney, they make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it." Well, many people kind of live their lives like that. They kind of feel like, well, you know, I shouldn't have any resources unless I earn it, and certainly I shouldn't expect to get anything given to me. I like what a man by the name of George Bruschubber commented on related to this television commercial. He once wrote, "I think John Houseman, gold watch chain encircling his vested girth, fits perfectly with the image of God as the scribes, Pharisees, and Judaizers imagined, proper, solid, dependable, a nose tolerating no nonsense, a comfort to do business with. They gained God's favor the old-fashioned way. They earned it." Many people today really are seeking to earn God's favor. I want to talk to you today about salvation. Now, what I'm going to share with you is something that most of you know very well. But what I found is that many Christians are not able to explain to an unbeliever or an unchurched person or a person who is questioning anything about the Christian faith the plan of salvation. What is involved in salvation? And so what I'm hoping is that by sharing this with you, you'll be better equipped to then share with others with whom you might have a chance to share about the gospel of Christ and how they might get into heaven, how they might be saved themselves. Turn, if you will, to our bulletin today, the second lesson from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And Paul writes these words in verse 1 of chapter 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Paul is really describing here the human condition. This is how we all are apart from Christ. The Ephesians were living their lives before they became Christians like the pagans. They were just simply following their own desires. Whatever they felt like doing, they did. They were simply living their lives without any concern at all for God. And Paul says, this is how you used to be before you became a Christian. He was saying that they were really following the ways of Satan and the ways of the world. As a result, they were deserving to receive the wrath of God that God was going to give to anyone who lived in disobedience to his commandments. But Peter says elsewhere that God's desire is that not anyone would suffer the wrath of God. His desire is that no one would encounter his wrath, but rather that all would be saved, that all would come to repentance. Paul echoes this theme in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So going back to our lesson from Ephesians in verse 4, Paul says this, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Many people don't realize that God really loves them. If they're not believers in Christ, they may not think that God could possibly love them. So a message we have to give to people is that God does really love you. And He demonstrates that love by showing mercy to you, by being willing to offer you forgiveness and offer you a new life. And so as we explain to people how much God loves them and how much mercy He gives to them by giving all of us as undeserving sinners the opportunity to be saved from ourselves or from the separation we have with God or even from eternal damnation, when we explain that to people, then they begin to realize the depth of God's love for them. Verse 6 says, "And God raised us up with Jesus, with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this was not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So saving grace really is described as God giving to us what He gave to Jesus Christ because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Grace is defined as unmerited favor. We receive blessings from God even though we don't deserve them. St. Paul says God's grace is given to us so that we have been saved. In a sense, we can say because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have already been saved. But we can also say that we are being saved. We're in the process of being saved. And one day we can say when Christ comes back again or when we die, we will be saved. That's a great Trinitarian formula for salvation. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And certainly, as we understand this wonderful formula, we realize that saving grace is something that God gives to us by faith. We receive it by faith. We recognize, first of all, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came in human flesh, and He lived the perfect life that we could not live, so that He could become the perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And when He died on the cross, He provided a way for us to become acceptable to God. We appropriate this saving grace through faith in Christ by inviting Christ into our hearts to live inside of us. And He comes to live inside of us through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes our human spirits to be born again, to be made new, to be acceptable to God. The Holy Spirit then continues to begin to transform our human spirits to make them more like the character and nature of God. He transforms our human spirits by developing within us what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, things like that. And so as the Holy Spirit begins to develop those things within us, He begins to transform us and make us more and more like Christ each day. So why is the reason that Christ chose to save us? Why did He choose to save us in this world? Well, I think there are a number of reasons. First of all, He saved us so that we can have a relationship with He and His Father. He saved us so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can have a home in heaven, so that we can have eternal life. These are just a few of the things, the reasons why He saved us. But if we think about it, salvation related to our life on this earth, we realize that Christ saved us for another reason as well. He saved us not only because of the grace given to us by faith, but He also saved us for, as Paul says in verse 9, He saved us by the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's real easy for us to think to ourselves, you know, I've really done enough good things in my life to earn salvation. I've done enough good things to helping people and living a good enough life that God should accept me. Or I haven't done enough bad things to keep me out of heaven. It's easy for us to kind of think that we've played a great role in this idea of salvation. But the message of the gospel is that there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to gain God's favor. It's only by the grace of God and His mercy that we're able to receive salvation. Goes on to say, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So our salvation is a gift from God, not by the works that we do. But there is one work that we can do to gain our salvation. Now you might be surprised by that, but actually Jesus said there's one thing that you can do to gain your salvation. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, he says this. The Jews asked him this question. What must we do to do the works that God requires? What must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered this way. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. To believe in the one He has sent. So if you want to earn your way to salvation, believe in the one He has sent. That's the way of salvation. So what's the purpose of doing good works then? Paul said that even we can't be saved by our good works, but we might think to ourselves, well, I do a lot of good things. That's got to count for something. So what are the purpose of doing these good works? Well, Paul tells us in verse 10 in our lesson today, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That word handiwork there is the word in Greek, poema, from which we get the word poem. So we might say in a sense that God is using the good things that you and I do for Him to write a beautiful poem with our lives that will be a blessing to others. You may not realize it, but God has prepared for each one of you good works for you to do. These works are evidences of the salvation that you have in Christ. They're not done in order to gain that salvation. They show that we have salvation by doing the good works that God has prepared for us to do. Now, how do we know what those good works are? Well, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to direct us into discovering those good works that God wants us to do. And as we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to enter into those things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. These works can include a multitude of things. But Paul says this about good works in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So when the Spirit directs us to do something, we're to do it with all of our heart, if we're doing it for the Lord. Many times, the good works that we do result in a blessing for someone else, or they result in the strengthening, or the building up, or the expansion of the body of Christ, or the kingdom of God. There was an ad for the U.S. Marines that pictures a sword, and underneath that sword was the phrase, earned, not given. And the idea is that if you want to claim to be a Marine, you have to go through a time of sacrifice, of hardship, and training. And if you get it, you earn it. But if you want to become a Christian, you have to follow a different model. And that model is given, not earned. You can't save your own soul. God will not save anyone who tries to earn their own salvation. But only those who humbly receive it as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. If you get it, you absolutely did not earn it. However, once we've been given this salvation, we can earn great rewards by the good works that we do. Now, we don't do those good works in order to get rewards, but that's how God rolls. He loves to bless people with His blessings as they serve Him. We often receive blessings from God that we don't deserve. We receive salvation we don't deserve. We receive all sorts of things from God that we don't deserve. And that's really why we call it Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Lord, there is so much involved in this plan of salvation that you have for us. So many details, but Lord, ultimately it's summarized in the fact that you were willing to show your love for us by
dying on the cross,
making it possible for us to have a home in heaven and eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, this message is appropriated to us as we invite you into our lives and as we ask you to be the ruler of our lives. And as you do so, then you open the door for us then to do the good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. Would you help us to be sensitive to the direction of your Holy Spirit as you would lead us to doing those good works that will make a difference not only in this world, but in the world to come, a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. I ask this in your name. Amen.